I recently found out that you can see a personal dietitian covered by insurance. There's this platform called Nourish that will match you with a dietitian based on whatever your concerns are, whether that's weight loss, eating disorders, autoimmune conditions, or something else. They're actually a network with major insurance providers, so most patients pay $0 out of pocket. 94% of patients pay $0 out of pocket. Find your dietitian at usenourish.com. That's usenourish.com.
Thumbtack presents the ins and outs of caring for your home. Out. Indecision. Overthinking. Second-guessing every choice you make. In. Plans and guides that make it easy to get home projects done. Out. Beige on beige on beige. Ugh. In. Knowing what to do, when to do it, and who to hire. Start caring for your home with confidence. Download Thumbtack today.
Let's BOGO. The Hoppin' Good Sale at Designer Shoe Warehouse is on. Buy any pair of shoes in-store or online. Get a second qualifying pair 50% off. Yep, must-have sandals, sneakers, and more from brands you love are buy one, get one 50% off at DSW. But only for a limited time, so hop to it. Fill your basket and score BOGO 50% off at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Welcome back. Junkies coming to you live on 106.7 The Fan and the Team 980 here in the DMV, 910 The Fan, 105.1 FM in Richmond. We are streaming live on the free Odyssey app, and you can watch us on the Monumental Sports Network, brought to you by Crop Metcalf, the official heating and cooling company. The Junkies running the three-man show. EB will be back tomorrow. It's Bish, Cakes, and JP. Mark Packer from the ACC Network going to join us at 9:20. But joining us right now on the Rude Guest Hotline, Rude, the most reliable heating and air conditioning products in the DMV. It's Chris Nocke, Terps Color Analyst. Hey, Chris.
What's up, boys?
C-Knock.
When's the last time you were out in Seattle? Because you're going to be heading there in the next day or two.
Oh, we played there on January 2nd of this year.
Okay.
In the new Big Ten. We played out at Washington.
That's right.
Okay, got it. Forgot that.
I know you didn't like that flight.
Brutal. And you know what? It was even worse, Jason, because we went out there and the headwinds were incredible. We had to stop in Omaha for fuel.
Wow.
We were on the ground for about an hour, you know, maybe a $1.15 or so.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, as it is, it's nearly a 6-hour trip going east to west like that. And then you add on the hour plus to get the fuel. It was just forever.
Do you fly out with the team?
Fly out with the team. The NCAA handles all of the travel right now. We're sort of waiting to hear, but I'm assuming probably a Wednesday, midday, late day Wednesday,
right,
something like that.
Hey, before we get into the Terps, I wanted to get your opinion on some of the things we were kicking around earlier. Number one is this UNC deal, which a lot of people are up in arms over. I'm not so much, but whatever. How do you feel about UNC getting in?
I'm like you. It is what it is. It doesn't surprise me. It's more old boys being old boys, and I think it's completely bogus that they got in. But this happens every year where there's a head shaker or two, and a couple teams that were probably more deserving, or certainly more deserving. But it just seems to happen all the time. So I cease to be surprised.
And the other thing is, this is more me personally. I get it that the SEC is the best conference, but to me, when you take 14 teams out of 16, like, I would set up the tournament where you only take teams that are in the top half of a conference just to open it up to more smaller teams. But what's your take on a conference getting 14 bids?
Well, I mean, those 14 teams were all ranked at some point in time this year. So, you know, the idea is you create the strongest field possible, which, again, going back to North Carolina, makes no sense that those guys were included, but they were. I think, in watching a lot of those the conference teams play, I think they all deserve to be in. It's hard for me to pick one that, you know, maybe Oklahoma, but they're good, man. They beat Michigan. They're very good. So,
yeah.
I think they all deserve to be in.
I mean, Texas is the last SEC team to get in, but if you look at their net ranking, they had 7 quad one wins.
Yeah, and some of that is opportunity. They have an opportunity to play a hell of a lot more quad one opponents than a team like, you know, I watched And JP, I think you were out of VCU Mason yesterday. Mm-hmm. Did I hear you? Yeah, I was out there too. And you know, those two teams can play with anybody. They just don't have. If I'm a Power Five coach and Tony Skin calls me about a game, I'd tell him to call somebody else. I'm not playing George Mason.
Right. I'm not, and I'm definitely not playing at VCU.
No, not at all.
You know. All right. So the game against Michigan, you know, the thing that kind of two things stand out. One, the defense, the transition defense with 4 seconds left to let Donaldson go down the court in 3.25 seconds and not make him turn once. Bad deal. But also the rebounding. Now, it's rare that you're going to play a team with 2 7-footers like Michigan's got, but they obviously killed Maryland on the boards. But kind of your thoughts on how that went down in the last 20 seconds.
Yeah, well, we got hammered on the boards all night that night, and that was disappointing because you got two really good big men yourself, you know, with the Terps. Mm-hmm. Some of it was just, you know, from the opening onset, the ball just was caroming strangely off the rim. They shot a lot of threes, and those rebounds went kind of squirrely. But again, you know, rebounding is an effort-based thing, and we just didn't get it done. Now, it was a tremendous comeback to get back into the game. Mm-hmm. You're down 15 with, like, 16 to play. You take the lead. In fact, I think the Terps went up 3 a couple of times. Yeah. That last play, there were probably 2 or 3 breakdowns on it. First of all, you can't let a guy catch it full speed like that. I mean, that's sort of America's play. We saw Tyus Edney do it years ago for UCLA. We've seen that before. And the idea is you have to make him zig or zag once or twice so that instead of getting to the rim, he's shooting shooting a bomb somewhere, a 20-footer, 25-footer. But you got two big guys back there around the basket, too, and there really wasn't a contest on the shot. Mm-hmm. And I think maybe they thought the other one was going for it, both Queen and Reese. I have no idea. But, you know, looking at the video, it's painful. Just the 2 or 3 breakdowns defensively that cost you the game.
What did K-Dub say after the game about the last play?
He said something last night, which I feel is pain. He said, I would rather have gotten beat by 20.
Uh-huh.
You know, this team has lost 8 games by a grand total of 28 points.
Mm-hmm.
That's incredible.
Yeah, it's amazing. So the bomb by Michigan State, Ohio State hit a bank shot from 25 feet when the guy was completely blanketed to win the game. I mean, it's been that kind of year. But it's a good basketball team, and this year one of the things that we've seen is that every time they've lost in those brutal fashion, they've reeled off 4 or 5 straight wins right afterwards. So this would be a good time for 4 or 5 straight wins.
I like the fact that this game doesn't start at it's a Friday game, correct? It's a Friday afternoon
correct.
Game, so it doesn't start at 10 o'clock out there on the West Coast. It's a 4:35 tip playing Grand Canyon. We kind of talked about Canyon earlier. Bryce Drew's been there. I believe this is year 4. He's been to the tournament 3 times. He's got his top 3 players are all seniors, and I think they were all on last year's team. They've got some pretty good size, too. They got a 6'10 kid. They've got a 6'8 kid who's pretty heavy. They're scoring about 80 a game. I'm not sure how good their 3-point shooting team is, but our percentages are, but they're scoring a bunch of points. Just kind of give me your thoughts on Grand Canyon so far in the 4-13 matchup.
Yeah, you know, if you're playing for Bryce Drew, I think you're going to shoot a lot of threes.
Yeah.
You know, he was pretty prolific himself. Their numbers are down from the 3-point line, to your point. But I do know this. I know that in talking with all the NBA guys that I've speak to, you know, on a regular basis, they've all made the trip to Grand Canyon. They've got some NBA level, you know, possibilities out there. So. Yeah, they're going to be talented. The issue really becomes dealing with the travel and, you know, all the things that go along with that. I suspect that we're going to be fine. But Grand Canyon themselves, you know, you mentioned it. They're seniors. A lot of guys playing their last game, and Maryland's got some of those as well. With Julian Reese and Lord knows, I think we will have seen the last of Derek Queen, you know, after this tournament. It's always fun. Nobody has to beat anybody 4 out of 7, right?
Yep.
You just got to be better that day. So I'm sure the Terps will be prepared to play that game.
We're joined by Chris Nocke, Terps color analyst on the Rude guest hotline. So handicap the West region as a whole. You got Florida as the top seed. St. John's comes in at number two. The Terps are four. Texas Tech is three. And I was a little surprised that Kansas, like, when's the last time Kansas was a seven seed in the NCAA tournament? They're taking on Arkansas in that 7-10 matchup. So a lot of depth there in the West.
Yeah, you know, it's funny. Kids, when the pairings came out, I remember one time I was talking to, I hate to drop names, but I was talking to Jim Nance about the way the field is put together, and I mentioned the fact that CBS has to have a hand in some of this, right? Because there's some TV matchups that you just cannot believe. Bill Self against John Calipari in the first round. Now, when I said it to Nance, he completely scoffed. You know, he was like, he was appalled that I brought it up. He's like, no, come on. We have nothing to do with the TV matchups. Yeah, okay, right. Well, that is a matchup made for TV right there. And I love St. John's the way they're playing. I think Florida is the best team in the country right now. They're just outstanding. And if chalk holds, that's who Maryland would be seeing in San Francisco in the round of 16. But, yeah, I think it's the best region. I think the really good top four teams. And, I'd love to see it go chalk in the first two rounds so there's all four of those, the top four seeds get to San Francisco.
Hey, C-Knock, when Pitino said he wasn't even going to recruit seniors, is that the way the sport is going, that more and more teams are going to do that, where they just completely focus on portal?
There are only two guys I know who are recruiting high school players more actively than everybody else, and that's Shaka, you know, at Marquette. He's not doing the portal thing at all. In fact, one of the guys, he got a kid from Bullis who's excellent, who's going up there next year. Also, Tom Izzo's not, you know, he's adamant about now he'll play a limited portal game just to kind of find a piece to the puzzle, but they've committed to recruiting high school kids as well. In fact, they got two kids from the area here, Jordan Scott and Cam Ward from on PG County. So, you know, those are the two schools that are doing it the old fashioned way. But for the most part, man, everybody is going older and to the portal.
Hey, so we should ask you about the Kevin Willard extension, the rumors of that. Is this going to happen?
I would think so. You know, on the heels of this year, I think there also has to be a real commitment financially to, you know, to the new environment, to the new geography. It's just the reality of the situation. And we can kind of bitch and moan about the portal and NIL and all that, but it's here, you know? Yeah. And if it's here, you got to deal with it and be proactive about dealing with it. And so I think it's a commitment to Kevin, to coach, and it's a commitment to the program as much as anything else. And this is, you know, with all due respect to Locks and football, this is a basketball school.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, you have to really sort of, I think you have to make sure you do everything you can to get it into hyperdrive and keep it that way. And a commitment reflects that.
Next year, they're likely to have maybe one returning starter.
I think you got to pay your two guards, you know, and if you pay Gillespie and Rice, you know, you've probably got the two best guards in the Big Ten. So
let's bring back two.
Pretty good foundation right there. You got to go out and find guys for sure. And there's only one way to do that, and that's with payola, you know.
Does Maryland have any sort of a GM like these college hoops programs are hiring?
Good question. They do not. I would think that hire might be imminent. I just know that most everybody's going to that model.
Mm-hmm.
Terps have not done it yet, but there would be some likely candidates for it. I could think of a handful off the bat, and I think that maybe that's something you probably need to consider for sure.
Yeah. So what does Maryland have to do when you're facing a team like Grand Canyon, who's from, you know, the WAC, and they score a bunch of points? They scored 98 in their first round in the conference tournament. They scored 90 in the championship. So they're obviously going to get up and down. They got a couple big guys, so they're going to be, you know, a problem in the paint, on the boards. What's Maryland have to do, in your opinion, when you're only playing pretty much five guys?
I don't think Maryland has any problem playing fast. We, in the first round of the Big Ten tournament, we scored 56 on Illinois. That could have been a 110-point game easily. Mm-hmm. Maryland played subs the last 7 minutes of that game. So Maryland has no problem playing fast. I think at the end of the year, Jason, I think the Terps averaged over 80 themselves. So an up-and-down game is fine. One of the things you have to avoid, obviously you mentioned the depth, is foul trouble.
Right.
It's not just that you're playing opponents that you never see during the course of the year. You're playing in front of refs you've never seen. And it's different. The games are officiated differently. You like to think when you get to tournament time that they swallow the whistle a little bit and let guys play, but hell, I was at Cap One yesterday. There were 21 fouls called in the first half alone.
Yep.
Two long replays. So you just never know. That's a variable that you have to kind of deal with as well. Feel that out and then keep guys on the floor as long as possible. Those starters are key.
That was interesting. Yesterday you were talking about the VCU game, Mason game, and one of those long replays was the flagrant foul. It ended up being the play before the play that was called. And it was when the kid Russell from VCU just pushed, I can't remember who it was for George Mason. I think it was Johnson. But the referee was standing right there. Why didn't he call it? He should have called it right then. They let another play go by, and then they finally went back to it. What was the ref doing? He was smoking and joking. It was right in front of him.
This happened right in my lap, right in front of me.
Oh, so you saw it right away. Yeah, okay.
Sitting. And it's like the ref had a delayed reaction, like the light bulb went on over. Like it was almost like a cartoon thing where the light bulb went over his head and he got that O-S look on his face.
Yeah.
And immediately called in one of the other refs to say, there's something we need to look at here.
Yeah.
It happened right in front of me. Honestly, I thought they could have kicked him out. I thought they might have ejected him.
Flagrant too, yeah. If he would have hit his head, I think they probably would, but he kind of cut him in his chest.
It was close.
It was close, yeah.
So it was a strange game, an over-adjudicated game yesterday, but it was a crazy finish. It was a wacky finish and, really exciting ending.
So you feel good about the Terps. Pretty sizable favorites, about 11 points. You feel good about this matchup?
I mean, I'd rather be in Providence.
Yeah.
I mean, it's as good as you can get. I mean, if you get past Grand Canyon, you've got Memphis team that's limping, and you get a Colorado State team who's very good, but whose coach has got one foot out the door, ready to go to Minnesota the minute they lose.
Right.
So, I think that it's as good as you could have hoped. And then you get to the round of 16. Yeah, Florida, I mean, if you're not a number one, you're probably going to have to beat a number one to get to the Final Four. Mm-hmm. So, you get an opportunity against Florida, you just go in there and take your shots. Have some fun with it.
Yep. That's Chris Nocke, Terps color analyst. Thanks, as always, for joining us, pal.
See you, man.
Bye, guys.
Safe travels.
Chris Nocke. We'll talk a little more NCAA tournament with Mark Packer coming up at 9:20. But next, Cakes' entertainment page here on The Junkies.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Alo, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Alo, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
If you're a parent or share a fridge with someone, Instacart is about to make grocery shopping so much easier. Because with family carts, you can share a cart with your partner and each add the items you want. Since between the two of you, odds are you'll both remember everything you need. And this way, you'll never have to eat milkless cereal again. So minimize the stress of the weekly shop with family carts. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus, enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three orders. Service fees apply for three orders in 14 days. Excludes restaurants.
And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can choose the TV you want with DirecTV.
So now they can pick out their favorite entertainment when they sign up and save money?
You mean if you like sports,
you can get a sports pack.
What about entertainment?
Entertainment pack.
It's like finding an old pizza with your favorite toppings. Which for me would be pineapple and toenails.
Pineapple?
Pay for the TV you want, not the TV you don't. Genre pack starting at $34.99 a month. Visit DirecTV.com for more information. New residential customers only. Local channels vary by market. Services renew monthly unless you cancel online. Credit card required. Restrictions apply.
Welcome back. Chucky's coming to you live on 106.7 The Fan and the Team 980. We'll get back into the NCAA tournament. Coming up at 9:25, Mark Packer is going to join us from the ACC Network. He's one of the best. But right now, time for Cakes' entertainment page. EB will be back tomorrow from his little vacay boys weekend in Florida.
Yep, the entertainment page is driven by BMW of Fairfax, DC's only BMW Center of Excellence Award winner. For the ultimate buying experience on your ultimate driving machine, get over to BMW of Fairfax and ask for EB's girl, Miriam, the general manager, or check them out at BMWofFairfax.com. So I scoured countless entertainment sites online.
Mm-hmm. What'd you come up with?
Well, I actually just went to TMZ. That's my go-to. And their lead story, it's not really entertainment related, but I guess it's from a video that went viral over the weekend. It's of a guy who's sitting on a street corner in the Bronx in New York City eating a dead rat. And the woman is filming it, and she's like, this is effing unbelievable. This guy is munching on a dead rat. And I bring it up mostly because on my way in this morning, I saw not one, but two rats scurrying in the streets, not a block away from where we work. I mean, they're just running around, just hiding under cars.
I stepped over one a couple weeks ago that was on the sidewalk, now, dead.
That rat was dead. These rats could not have been more alive. And kicking. So if this guy is looking for more rats to eat, maybe he should leave New York and come down to D.C. Because at least in this part of D.C., there is no shortage of those vermin running around the streets.
Bronx here. Man eats dead rats. That's unbelievable. Yeah,
I understand, like, if you're homeless and unhoused and you're desperate for something to eat, like...
Well, that's what he's doing.
I mean, at that point, you gotta find, like, a homeless shelter or someplace to go in that will serve you a meal instead of you grabbing, like, that would be like the equivalent of JP grabbing the dead rat off the street and eating it before the valet came and gave him his car out in front of the home with sweets.
If they brought back Fear Factor, yes, or we did a Junkies Fear Factor, oof, and there was rat meat there.
Rat meat.
Yes. That's what we're talking about.
Yeah.
Eating a dead rat. Yeah. Rat meat.
I don't think I could do it.
No.
I mean, like, is it cooked? Am I eating it raw? How are we serving it?
I think you would eat it raw.
Rat tartare.
I mean, that's just too much potential for disease. I mean, rats carry so many diseases.
Yeah, but if they told you there's no disease.
I don't know,
no,
man.
I couldn't do it.
I think I'd have to say no. I couldn't participate in Fear Factor because I'm afraid of so much.
Back in the day when we had a lot of challenges, you ate a mouse pad. Or at least a portion of a mouse pad.
Can I try to eat them? Was that me? I don't recall trying to eat.
The guy ate 15 hot dogs.
I recall trying to eat a portion of the USA Today.
Like, yeah, I do remember that.
Crumpling up the newspaper.
You also ate part of a mouse pad.
Maybe I took a bite or two of a mouse
pad. And it was, you know, a grasshopper, I think. And
yeah, crickets.
Crickets, okay, yeah. Crickets.
Not great.
It was gross.
It's good protein, though.
There's probably good protein in a rat, a big, juicy rat.
But New York City's director of rodent mitigation, I guess that's a thing, warned that rats can be harmful to your health because they can transport pathogens, which are organisms that cause diseases. I'm out on eating rats. Rat the band, love. Eating rats, not so much. I'm going to have to stay away. I'm
still bitter I threw away my beef patties cakes for fear of salmonella.
Yeah, you threw away your hamburgers and you're regretting it. But just be thankful that you don't have to resort to eating rats to survive like this poor dude in New York City. Feel bad for him, but made for a good story to lead off the EP. Gene Hackman left his fortune to his deceased wife, left his kids zippy.
Wow.
Well, the deceased wife is dead, so it goes to her kids?
No, she left the bulk of her fortune to charity.
Jeez.
New Mexico is a community property state, so assuming there's no prenup, Betsy, who was Hackman's wife, her estate could have a lot of money, and her share would then go to charity. As for Gene Hackman's estate, despite the fact that he did not include his children in his will, they would presumably get his share since they are the most direct living heirs.
Okay.
So I guess even though he didn't leave them
they're still going to get something.
Didn't leave them a dime.
By the way,
his
kids are probably 50, 60 years old at this point.
Yeah.
He was 95.
Yeah.
He may have given them a lot along the way.
Well, right. The grandkids could get stuff.
Yeah.
How many kids does he have?
Three.
Who gets the house?
And two daughters.
Who gets that house?
I don't know. It's a good question. Haven't read down that far in the story. A celebrity couple, Jason. Do you want to guess who Tom Cruise has been spotted in public with? She is, let me do my math. She is 26 years.
Wow.
His junior.
How old is he?
She's 60. 36. He is 62.
Do we know her?
You do know her. She was one of the stars of the original Knives Out. Can you name her?
I didn't see
Hold
Knives
on.
Out.
Knives Out.
Knives Out,
I
yes.
I saw that. I think.
You think you saw it. She was also, here's a big hint. She was Miles Teller's wife in War Dogs. I think that's a good hint. Which is a pretty good movie. Slept on movie.
You've hyped up that movie a lot over the years. I don't know who
it's pretty good. Ana de Armas.
Okay, I've heard of her.
So they've been spotted out now twice in public. Apparently they landed in a helicopter there for some sort of press tour, and they were just hanging out, smoking and joking with the people at the heliport area, and I guess they're a thing.
And she's so silly. She dated Ben Affleck for a long time,
yeah.
Or for a while.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's right. That's correct.
And she was in an NC-17 film.
I did not know that.
Which there aren't many of those anymore.
That is, that's interesting.
I'm pretty sure that when she played Marilyn Monroe, that movie Blonde was NC-17.
Okay. Hmm. Did that get nominated for, like, she might have gotten nominated
for
an Academy Award, maybe?
I don't know why this is jumping out at me, looking at her. She has very prominent eyebrows.
She's
very attractive.
She's Cuban.
Yeah. She is Cuban, yeah.
Yeah.
I saw the poster
I don't recognize her.
When we went to see Warfare.
Yes.
On Thursday, mm-hmm. I saw the poster for the next Mission Impossible. Did you scan the posters?
No, I did not scan the posters. But you know what I didn't see when we went to go see Warfare, where we got the special advanced screening? I didn't see one other person in the entire theater complex.
Oh, I did.
You did?
Yeah.
I didn't see any. I walked
there
in.
There weren't many.
I walked in. Off to the left was the mm-hmm. concession stand. Maybe there were three people in line. Maybe.
Mm-hmm.
And I walked into Warfare, and at first, I was the only person in the screening theater.
There were people, because I actually went and got nachos, and when I went to get nachos, there were a couple people in line. And there was an old couple, and I didn't know what they were doing. You know how people will go walking in a mall?
Sure.
I almost feel like they were just walking, because that was a big movie theater. I mean, I think it has 20 screens, at least 18 screens.
Yeah, it's a lot.
And they were just walking the hallways. It was like, what are they doing?
You could get their steps in.
If you just walked around there for 45 minutes, you get a workout in. You get an old person workout.
Yeah, were you distraught that the concession stand right by Theater 5 wasn't open?
No. Because as I mentioned I may have had contraband gummy bears stuffed into my Sup Dog sweatshirt. That might have happened. Okay, it did happen.
I'm watching the trailer of Warfare because I didn't see it with you guys.
Yeah.
It looks intense.
It's a movie that's right up your alley, and it's definitely intense.
It's very intense. So we're going to have the director in studio tomorrow?
The director and possibly the writer as well.
Nice. Is his last name Mendoza?
Yes. And he's a former Navy SEAL, and it's based on a mission that he lived through.
It's 2006.
I think it even says in the movie, based on my memories.
Right. I mean, it's an intense flick. So
this isn't a spoiler, I don't think. The ending.
Stop. It's not important.
Immediately dump it. Let's just leave
it's
it.
It's not a spoiler.
Stop. I'm begging you to stop.
Just stop.
I'm asking you to stop.
Didn't have to do that.
Jeez.
You didn't either.
Uh-oh. Bitterness.
Yeah, there's a little bit of testiness. All right, we're just going to leave it at that.
Anyway, I just can't wait to meet Ray Mendoza.
Yeah, well, he'll be in studio with us tomorrow. And the movie comes out in early April.
Very cool.
Not yet out for wide release.
And I will see it.
Here's another movie you may see, Jason. There's a Tiger Woods movie in the works at Amazon MGM. They have landed film rights to Kevin Cook's book, The Tiger Slam, the inside story of the greatest golf ever played. By the way, the Tiger Slam was 25 years ago. It centers on Tiger's four consecutive majors from 2000 to 2001. Ronaldo Marcus Green set to direct. He's coming off a successful sports biopic in King Richard, depicting the Williams sisters and their tennis-obsessed father.
So our old intern is going to play Tiger Woods.
Abdullah, I believe, was his name.
Yes. He looked a lot like him.
And last, and
we sent him out in D.C., remember, dressed as Tiger Woods.
I would say maybe.
And people came up to him.
Yeah.
Yeah, people are drunks in Georgetown, thought it was actually Tiger Woods. It did kind of look like him. Last and certainly least, Will Smith announcing the release date for his first full-length album in 20 years. It's going to hit on Friday, March 28th.
I know you're going to pre-order that, Cakes.
Oh, yeah. It's going to go right to the top of my Spotify playlist.
I was watching a little bit of a Will Smith film this weekend. I Am Legend.
It's a good one. It's a really good one.
Man,
isn't there supposedly a sequel coming?
It's been rumored. I don't know if there's anything concrete happening.
I Am Still Legend.
Might be the best, last good movie he actually made, Will Smith.
It was freaky.
And it's been a while. All right, that's your EP. I hope I entertained everybody.
Coming up next, we're going to dive into the Commanders. Why did they bring back Cleveland Farrell? Is the defensive line set? We'll tackle that next.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Life comes with big money questions. Is it better to max out your 401k or put more in a brokerage account? Does buying a home make financial sense in today's market? Should you use extra cash to pay off debt or invest? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing and budgeting strategies to help you build wealth and navigate major financial decisions. Make smarter money moves. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen. It's no surprise that facial hair is personal. It grows from your face. That's why Dollar Shave Club makes the razors, but you make the rules. Whether you're going smooth shaven or maintaining a beard, Dollar Shave Club offers shave and grooming products that are always high quality, but never overpriced. Dollar Shave Club products are now available everywhere. Or visit their site right now for 20% off $20 or more and get your products delivered right to your door. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/shaveup and use promo code SHAVEUP for 20% off $20 or more. And remember, whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Hey everyone, quick shout out to Whole Foods Market. You know I'm all about eating fresh and finding quality ingredients, and that's exactly what Whole Foods delivers. Whether you're grabbing organic produce, high quality meats, or just a quick healthy snack, they've got you covered. Plus, they're all about sustainability and supporting local farmers, which I love. Next time you're grocery shopping, check them out. You'll taste the difference. Spring is the perfect time to refresh your table, and Whole Foods Market has everything you need. Hosting brunch? Picture this. Flaky, buttery quiche, crispy bacon, fresh berries, and of course, cold-pressed orange juice to brighten up your morning. And if you're in the mood for something fizzy, check out their seasonal Italian sodas. Berry Blend and Orange Hibiscus are total must-tries. So whether you're planning a casual get-together or a full-on feast, Whole Foods Market has you covered. Make Whole Foods Market your destination for all spring gatherings.
Today's podcast is sponsored by Midi Health. At any given time, 61% of adult women say they want to lose weight. But for many, that's easier said than done. If you've had trouble losing weight, don't lose hope. Midi Health uses a deep understanding of women's hormones and a combination of weight loss medications to create a customized plan for each user. Midi Health can help you achieve more effective and sustainable weight loss by addressing hormone imbalances. Midi can also prescribe proven weight loss medications that help you experience reduced appetite and increased feelings of fullness. When paired with hormone optimization, you're not just managing your weight, you're also supporting your body's natural processes, which means you can overcome those weight loss plateaus that in the past have been so difficult to move beyond. So if you're ready to combine the power of hormones with the power of weight loss medications, visit joinmidi.com today. Discover how this innovative approach can lead you to lasting success. That's joinmidi.com.
At MLBShop.com, you can get all the latest officially licensed merchandise for you and your family. But if you really want to level up your game, you can grab something for your dog walker, your Pilates instructor, your swim coach, your neighbor, your accountant, your gardener, your best friend, your bandmate, your boss, your kid's teacher, your mailman. Visit MLBShop.com and stock up on officially licensed on-field merchandise from your favorite teams.
Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
And the Junkies. So the Washington Commanders have made some moves recently, mostly bringing back guys who were part of the roster last year, and they were able to re-sign Cleveland Farrell. Dante Fowler bounces to the Cowboys, and I think it was Jason who went through his sack total, or maybe it was Cakes who went through his sack total earlier. Why bring back Farrell? He didn't seem to have much of an impact.
It's a guy they're familiar with. Maybe he does a lot for the defense outside of just providing sacks. I mean, I know we get knee-deep in sacks, and that's like the be-all, end-all for defensive ends especially. Maybe he does a lot of other things well that the team likes, and they're okay with him having four sacks.
Yeah, I mean, maybe he does other things, like you said, that helps the defense.
And he's not going to make a lot of money.
He's not going to make a lot of money. He plays. He plays games.
Right.
He's not hurt all the time. He's pretty young. He's 20. Is he 28, 27?
I think he's 28 or about to turn. He's 27. He turns 28 in May.
Yeah, so.
He's clearly had potential. I mean, he was drafted super high.
Hell yeah, he was the fourth pick in the draft.
If you look at the current depth chart, your ends are Dorrance Armstrong and Dietrich Wise Jr.
Right. And again, okay, I think they're going to upgrade that in the upcoming NFL draft.
Yeah.
I would guess with their first and or second pick, they're going to address the edge.
I would
and
agree.
Lack of talent there.
I would agree.
Like if they don't pick it with the first pick, the second pick, one of those two picks, I would have to think is going to be an edge rusher.
Maybe they're looking at the draft as being pretty edge heavy, and they think they can get quality players, if not the first round, the second round.
And maybe they're not worrying about, I know this sounds crazy, rushing the passer with their edges. There's been some speculation that Kinlaw play a lot of defensive end and not necessarily on the interior to help them against the run. That's their biggest problem. They were 31st against the run. Who's their biggest threat? It's the Eagles. You have to figure out a way to slow down Saquon Barkley.
Correct. I mean, Kinlaw's a big dude, but I mean, I think they need one of those guys who are 6'4", 265, 270, who can just get around the ends. That Jack Sawyer kid from Ohio State, he's really good. The kid we talked about who was putting up crazy numbers at the combine, is it Landon Jackson?
Yep, from Arkansas.
From Arkansas.
Yep.
He's 6'6", 260, I think, or 270. So, I mean, I guarantee they're looking at the draft going, all right, there's a stud right here we can get at 29, or if they wait until the second round, or if they acquire more picks. You know, maybe they get a couple players. But they clearly felt like Cleland was someone that they could use depth-wise, and maybe he's not the starter. He is now, but maybe he's not the starter when the season starts.
Barkley, by the way, had 414 rushing yards in three games against the Commanders in 2024.
So I'm saying,
let's bring that number down a little bit.
Again, we don't know how Dan Quinn is going to employ Kinlaw into the lineup, but there were some people online who were speculating that he's going to play that elephant end position, which apparently Quinn used in Seattle back in the day. And maybe that's the focus. We got to figure out a way to stop the run. They bring back also Jalen Holmes on a one-year deal. So I know you seem to be on EB's side quibbling with my run it back. It's just that unlike last year, which was majority turnover year, right? I think they turned over the roster 60%.
Yeah.
It's not going to be nearly that. They are bringing back a lot of the guys depth-wise that were on the team last year.
Yeah, true. But they added four defensive linemen, Kinlaw, Wise, Goldman, and Jake Martin. They added two secondary players. They added Will Harris and Jonathan Jones. If you factor in Marshawn Lattimore they acquired in the trade last year, it's three new guys in the secondary. So, and then it doesn't count what they're going to do in the draft, and I think they're going to go defense. So I think they've made considerable changes defensively.
And unless he's going to play a dramatically different role, this elephant role that's been talked about, like Kinlaw's not a big sack guy. He's got 9.5 in his career. I know his career's been marred by injuries.
He's missed a lot of games, yeah.
But in the last 2 years where he's played 34 games, he's given you 4.5 and 3.5 sacks.
Well, he's a big
defensive tackle. Like, yeah. You shouldn't expect 9 or 10 sacks out of this guy. I wouldn't think. No, I don't know if that's in his range of possibilities.
Who's their leading sack guy on their roster right now? I mean, Armstrong.
Probably,
Armstrong had 5.
Yeah, probably him.
I mean, maybe Luvu? What did Luvu finish with?
I'd have to look up the stats from last
year. He had 8
sacks.
Okay, Luvu gave you 8 sacks.
And that's got to be the guy, because then it was Fowler after that with 10.5.
But I think they're going to make good decisions. They clearly did in the first year. They made some really big moves, especially on the offensive side with Debo and Tunsil. So just I would assume they're going to focus on those positions in the draft, especially edge.
800-636-1067 if you want to chime in. Are you worried about this defensive line? Depth chart right now, like we said, Dietrich Wise is going to be one of your ends. Last year, Wise gave you 5 sacks in New England. You've got Dorrance Armstrong, who gave you 5 sacks here in Washington. Kinlaw and Payne. And then in terms of depth, you signed Farrell. What did he finish with? 3 sacks? 3.5 sacks?
I think it was 3 or 3.5.
You've got Jean-Baptiste. They've added the depth with bringing back Sheldon Day. They signed Eddie Goldman.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's going to be better against the run.
Yeah, that's
it's almost harder to get worse against the run.
Yeah,
they were the second worst team in the league against the run. So I think that's been the focus. Like, when they brought in Kinlaw, my immediate thought was Kinlaw. And I was like, well, he's kind of the Jonathan Allen replacement. Now, he's never been as good as Jonathan Allen. But he's younger, he's cheaper, and he's bigger. He's a big boy.
Well, they paid him. Didn't they pay him a pretty good nut?
Yeah, 3 years, $45 million.
Yeah, it's a pretty big nut.
With a bunch guaranteed. Okay,
see what the Vikings gave Jonathan
Allen?
Allen
got. No, but dude, $45 million is $45 million.
Yeah.
That's a big, big contract. Yeah. I mean, and Kinlaw, we've talked about it. He was a high draft pick, and he just missed so much time with San Francisco because of those injuries. But last couple of years, he played full seasons.
I'm not convinced, though, that they go defensive line with that first pick.
Maybe it makes sense
to go and get an edge guy, but if there's a really good linebacker, they know they got to replace Bobby Wagner at some point.
Okay. Yeah, true.
Look, it's all going to depend on who Peters has ranked the highest.
Yeah.
If he has a linebacker that he loves that's sitting there at 29, he's going to take him. If he has the highest rated offensive tackle on the board or a guard, if he loves that guy there, they'll select him. I trust what Adam Peters is going to do with his board. If he wants to move back 6 or 7 spots, I think that's probably what you might want to do, because You've dealt away a lot of your picks for Lattimore, Debo, and Tunsil.
What if there's a dynamic running back that they love? Who's the guy that you love, Jason?
The Travion Henderson out of Ohio State.
Trey Henderson, yeah. He can move. I think he's projected as a second round pick, maybe a third.
I don't have
a
problem with picking a running back at 29 or 35. I would have a problem with picking a running back at like 4 or 6 or 8, unless you're guaranteeing me this guy's going to turn into CMC in his prime or Saquon Barkley or Jahmyr Gibbs. If you can tell me he turns into that guy, those guys are worthy of top 10 picks. But like the Jags about 7 or 8 years ago, maybe 10 years ago, when they took Leonard Fournette, I think at number 4, that's idiotic. You can't do that. But if you love a guy at 29 who's going to be dynamic in your backfield and is going to take some of the pressure off of B-Rob and Eckler, I don't hate that. I hate taking running backs in the top 10.
I think they're going to add to the... I mean, I know they're bringing back all the guys from last year. I assume they're going to add a younger guy in the draft. I don't know what round.
I thought that too, but like, if they've already re-signed McNichols to a one-year deal...
That's true.
Eckler still remains on his deal. B-Rob, I don't think, is going anywhere.
But Eckler's got 1 year left.
He's got 1 year left.
McNichols, 1 year.
Like, are you going to carry 5 running backs? Maybe.
I mean, if you get a younger guy who can move, I don't. He's got to make the roster. I just think that I think they have to upgrade at running back. I think you guys would agree with me.
That's what I thought too. Yeah. I thought they would. I didn't think they would just bring everybody back.
I think they're going to bring.
But apparently they have. That's been the move so far.
So maybe maybe they draft someone kind of late and he's a practice squad guy. I don't know. I just think they're going to add to that. But they don't have a ton of picks.
Not right now.
So unless they're adding to picks and trading down, it's going to be interesting to see what positions they target.
I'm willing to bet they're going to trade back from either their first or their second round pick if anybody wants to take it. I'm confident in that. Now, I've been losing so many bets of late, so if you want to just take advantage of me, here I am.
No, I kind of agree with you. I don't think Peters wants to do a draft without a third round pick or a fifth round pick.
Yeah, and the intel you're hearing about this draft is like players 25 to 40 are kind of all lumped together. So if you're sitting at 29, he's going to be calling everybody, hey, who wants to come up to 29? You got a guy you love? Because I want to move back to like 40 or 42 and gain a bunch of extra picks. I think that's just going to be the case. You want some of those picks back.
I'll tell you this, Jason. You'll probably feel great about this because you were the highest of the four of us on the hiring of Dan Quinn.
Mm-hmm.
All these players love him.
He
got that
A-plus
on that NFLPA report card.
Yeah,
and I think it was the corner that they just brought in, Will Harris, who said...
Safety.
He said that the culture and Dan Quinn were the reason that he ended up coming here.
You're
hearing that from everybody. Like John Bates talked about, he didn't want to sign anywhere else. Jeremy McNichols said he just loved the room here.
Yep.
Like it's a constant thread amongst players. Look, it's a recruiting advantage for this team.
When Cakes and I went to that media friendly, happy hour.
Yep.
That was hosted by the Commanders.
Mm-hmm.
We met Dan Quinn.
Yeah.
And we talked to him on the show when he was hired, but I met him years ago in college, but he doesn't remember me and I barely remember him. But you met him face to face. He's just a good dude.
Sure.
Seems so I can see why players would want to go play for him, especially since they won 14 games.
Right.
Sorry, this is a good spot.
Yeah.
Snyder's gone, new ownership.
Daniels is here.
Peters is the man.
Yeah.
So this is like one of the new spots that these guys want to come to.
Right.
So hopefully that continues.
800-636-1067. You want to chime in on the Commanders? You can. We'll talk some NCAA tournament with Mark Packer from the ACC Network coming up at 9:25 here on the Junkies.
Hey there, I'm Kendra Adachi, and my show, The Lazy Genius Podcast, helps you be a genius about the things that matter and lazy about the things that don't, and you get to decide what matters. I'm not here to tell you what to do. I'm here to give you a new way to see. Episodes of The Lazy Genius Podcast are full of compassionate time management tips and permission slips to do what makes sense for you. New episodes drop every Monday. Follow and listen to The Lazy Genius Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.